You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
from the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Once Upon a Time After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Once Upon a Time After Show.
Hello, Oncers. We are here for another Once Upon a Time After Show right here on AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm your host, Kathy Kelly, and joining me to break down Season 3, Episode 17, Bleeding Through, are my favorite harlots, Tiana Thompson and Marissa Serafini. How are you guys?
Hello. Oh, great, now that I'm known as a harlot.
I know.
Well, I mean, I feel like I called you that, but just not on our podcast. So.
But it's official now.
It's official now.
I'm great. Happy Easter, everyone.
Yeah, happy Easter.
Happy Easter. I'm excited to be back. We missed last week, but we had some great fill-ins to recap the Jolly Roger episode.
That was already a week ago, wasn't it? That was a great episode.
It was.
I
really
missed you guys.
I know. I was sad I wasn't here. It was all about my hook, so...
Hookers.
I know. That was the perfect episode for you to just go, be like, hooker for life.
I also wanted to talk about how Hook got a hooker. Can we talk about that for a second? Because he got a hooker, and then he rejected his hooker.
So maybe he doesn't like hookers?
Maybe he's changing his ways.
He doesn't like hookers. He likes girls that play hard to get, like me. No?
Oh, harlot.
Anyway.
Okay, so... Let's start breaking down tonight's episode. Okay, so we just have to talk about this off the bat. Robin Hood and Regina.
Oh my God.
Make out sesh.
Loved it.
Every moment of that.
Outlaw queen.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was amazing.
So good.
So happy.
I love how demanding she was when she just yanked him in. He's like, I'll apologize. Just pulled him right in, and then he pulled her right back.
He was like surprised, and then he's like, I want some more.
I want more of this.
So good.
I want another kid named Roland.
No. You knew that was going to happen because, like, I have witnesses witnessing my reaction. I'm like, just kiss him, Regina, please, just do it. And then, like, 2 seconds later, there she goes. So awesome.
You lost my heart, but you also have it. How can she have the capacity to love someone or whatever if she doesn't have her heart?
I thought so, too.
I was thinking the same thing because I was thinking about Once Upon a Time in Wonderland and, you know, the knave not having his heart and not feeling anything at all. So, I mean, maybe the love that she has, it's true love. And so she still has those feelings because she still loves Henry. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't have a heart to really capacitate mm-hmm. that. So maybe, you know, when it's love, you don't need that heart.
Or she just knows deep down because she's had the heart and she knew those feelings before she lost her heart.
Maybe.
I don't know. Hopefully it'll get explained. But let's talk first about Cora's past, because we did learn a lot about this heartless wench, harlot, hussy, whatever you'd like to call her. So Cora, we get this whole flashback, learn more of her story and how she, Marissa just lost her notes. So why don't you just get down and get them?
Yeah.
So Cora's past, we learn about why she had to give up Zelina and how Zelina came to be in the first place. Cora is working in a bar as the bar wench, and she meets this guy who claims to be a Prince Jonathan. Of course, since all she wants to do in life is move up and become more than the Miller's daughter, she accepts his marriage proposal after knowing him maybe 20 seconds, 25 seconds.
I mean, in her defense, he had been there for like a week, you know, kind of lurking at her and
yeah,
interacting in small capacities. Yeah. But yeah, ultimately, it was a little too soon to probably say yes.
I thought it was way too soon, especially because this is the first time we've seen this character.
Yeah.
And he was very, very charming to the point where he was too charming. I'm like, we can't trust him yet.
Mm-hmm. So I was trying to figure out all episode where I knew him from, and he was on What I Like About You with Amanda Bynes.
Oh.
Do you remember that show?
Yeah.
Good show.
Yeah. That was a while ago.
So
it was a while ago.
Anyways, Prince Jonathan asks Cora to marry him, and he says he will be back in 2 weeks' time with a gold ring, but gives her a straw ring instead, which was very symbolic of her future relationship.
I liked that whole interaction when he was like, you know, I'll be back in 2 weeks to turn the straw into gold.
Yeah.
Like, oh, is he hinting at something? Is that Rumple? Like, what's going on right now?
There were a lot of things being hinted at this episode. Mm-hmm. So Cora says yes, and she says, you know, since we're basically married already, I'll keep you company tonight before you leave tomorrow.
I was surprised, like, once really went there. I was like, they had a lot of sexual moments tonight.
I mean, they have to go there because that's how babies are made, and that is how Zelina was made.
No, mm-hmm. I think a pelican just kind of flies around and...
Stork, not Stork. A pelican.
Although they look the same.
Same bird.
Same bird, you know.
Family.
So, Cora, then, after he leaves, she gets preggers, and he never comes back because he's a liar. And Cora goes off, tries to find him. She finds him 2 months later, and she says, "You lied." And he's not a prince. He's actually the gardener for the kingdom.
I mean, she was kind of a stalker at that point.
She's really pining for
I mean,
him.
If someone gets you knocked up, you're entitled to stalk them a little bit.
But she was like, my friends all said, you know, that it must have been, you know, not real. And, you know, you were a fake. So I decided to come to the castle to find you. Like, what was she going to do? Walk up to his dad and be like, yo, what if she had ran into the actual king prince first? And she was like, hey, like, I'm pregnant with the king's thing, right?
I can't princess think. Princess
baby? That's the word. Yeah. I'm pregnant with the prince's baby right now, and the prince comes out and is like, I've never seen you before in my life. That would have been embarrassing. I'm just saying.
But that's not how it worked out.
I mean, it's not, because, you know, it's TV, so it worked out perfectly. But I still thought it was a little much for her to go stalking him.
I don't think so. I mean, like, what would you do in modern day life if, like, you met this Prince Charming at a bar, and, you know, you have ye old one-night stand.
I don't like confrontations, so.
I think, you know, Prince Jonathan, so-called prince, just having someone already lie to her to try to move up in the world set the tone that, like, how she's going to behave and how she realized the ways that she has to go about to move up and get power and whatnot, because it's happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah. But I kind of felt like it was very reminiscent of, like, you know, the hussies in, like, the real world, that, like, they would sleep with some, like, athlete or someone famous or whatever just to get pregnant so they could become famous or rich or whatever as well. And, yeah.
It's a karma thing.
Yeah. Karma. So, Cora then, after getting ditched by Jonathan the gardener, meets Prince Leopold. And we were kind of wondering how they knew each other. So we learn.
That's like perfect timing on Leopold's part. When one guy leaves, he came in immediately afterwards.
Because he was
like
a good guy.
Too convenient, though.
But she didn't care who he was until he said he was a prince.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she didn't even look over to see who was trying to help her until he said prince. Which, I mean, how did she know this guy was actually a prince? You just got duped once.
By a prince.
He's like, oh, I just overheard this conversation with her and a gardener. This girl seems really easy to lie to.
Yeah. Okay.
Asked to show proof or something, because don't royalty, they wear rings and stuff to show that they are royal.
Yeah. Well,
that could have been a
prince. Prince Jonathan had a calling card or whatever that was to show that he was a prince.
Oh, what it was did he like drop? It was the seal.
Oh, the
crest.
Yeah.
The crest. Yeah. Yeah, I would have asked to see proof.
That's like an old-timey business card. Like, he just has this seal. Cora and Leopold bond very fast. She, of course, wants to be with him because he is the real prince. And she needs to figure out a way to, she needs to trick someone into thinking that that's their baby. Even though she's 2 months pregnant at this point. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, teaches him how to be a king of the people and teaches him how to start a fire and stuff. And it seems like they get along. Cora then asks who Leopold plans to marry and if he has anyone in mind. And Leopold is like, yeah. And for a split second, I thought he was going to say Cora as well. But he goes, Princess Ava, we've been engaged since she was a baby. So,
which isn't weird at all.
It's an arrangement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's expected.
That's how it worked back in the day.
That's how it worked. So sad.
Mm-hmm. I think it was cool to see how Leopold at this point, that just because he is royalty and he is a prince, that he still doesn't know the basic ways of survival, like building a fire. And the fact that his character was actually honest and admitted that he was flawed. So I think that, you know, just that genuine character really appealed to Cora at that point.
He did seem very genuine, but I think that it appealed to Cora because he was royalty, not because he was genuine.
I think it was.
And he seemed like easy to trick.
Yeah, it was her way in, was that he did not know anything. And so she's like, hey, I can help you do this and then build up that relationship. But I did like that he says, I want to be a king of the people and, you know, really be giving back and stuff. So you can see that out of the two women in his life at this point, he actually is like genuine and nice. Eva and Cora at this time in their lives were not.
Yeah. I think his naiveness or naivete was what was attractive to Cora. It was also interesting to see because we knew that Princess Eva was not the most pure person. We know that she, you know, growing up, she tripped Cora at one point, and we saw that whole backstory.
Yeah, the first time we saw young Cora.
Yeah, and it seemed like Eva wasn't necessarily the nicest person then as well. She, even though she was supposed to be engaged to this guy and he called it off to propose to Cora, she still kind of backstabbed Cora a little bit. It seemed like the way that she went about it was a little bit.
It was her attitude and arrogance.
Yeah.
You know, it was the arrogance of this young princess and, you know, looking down on this commoner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Miller's, she can't refer, the Miller's
She's
daughter.
Like, that's what you get for proposing to a commoner, but I'll give you a baby pure as snow.
Which is weird because at the time she wasn't so pure herself. Nope. So how's she gonna push out a pure baby? I don't know.
What happened to make her change?
Yeah,
her
I'd
ways?
Love to see that story.
I think we'll see that.
We will.
We will. Are you guys in the writer's room? Do you guys know something I don't
know?
No,
I just, I think so.
Yeah, and they mentioned the line tonight that, like, something had to happen to make her change her ways. So I think that was just the line to set us up that we're going to probably see it in the future. We're going to see. This isn't the last we've seen of Eva.
And Snow wasn't that pure as a kid. I mean, like, she was, but she also had a little bad side, too. She was rude.
She was just an, yeah,
she was. She was Princess Ava when Princess Ava was younger.
This is
like
true.
Mother, like daughter. So, we flash forward to Cora has a ring on her finger from Prince Leopold. They're set to get married. Fake Prince Jonathan shows up and blackmails Cora for gold and riches. Princess Ava overhears. Princess Ava then tells Prince Leopold at the time, who confronts Cora and says he'll marry her if he can still trust her. But then Ava says, check her pockets and I'm sure you'll find something in there. She had stolen some stuff from the kingdom. So Leopold calls off the engagement and has her escorted out by the guards.
Yeah. Security.
Security.
Security, get over here.
And then we learn that Cora had to give up baby Zelina. Well, didn't have to, but she chose to.
Yes.
Because she said that this was her best chance at being more than a Miller's daughter.
Which is sad that, you know, she believed that and that were her feelings at the time, because this whole time I thought something substantial happened that forced her to give away. Like, her dad found out and was like, no, you will not have this, you know, what's it called when... I don't want to say that word anymore. Yeah. He will not have this child, you know, give it away. I thought it was going to be something more along that, like her dad took the baby away and forced it. But she chose to give up Selena.
It shows her character, like how much she's willing to go to become the person that she became to be. Like how the darkness within her.
She is heartless.
She is.
Let me tell you.
And she still had a heart at that time.
She had a heart.
Yeah.
So, but giving... choosing to give up Selena in that way because she just wanted to not be the Miller's
daughter.
She's
selfish. That's what Cora is. She's selfish and she's trying to climb the ladder, and a baby will not help her do so. That will hinder her significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So let's talk about the baby that she gave.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to talk the green sky.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. Well,
that was because she was... I feel like certain people's magic is certain colors, and I was just going to Oz, so.
Or was it?
Baby Selena had some magic.
No, I think maybe it had been like someone else was watching Selena, kind of knew, hey, this Selena might be powerful, I'm going to grab her. Because Selena at this point is just a baby. I don't think she willed herself to go to Oz. I think it might have been an outside force that went to go get her. Twister.
Okay. I did think Twister was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And
we did see Twister come to pick her up.
Yeah, I did see that. But I didn't think about, you know, this someone watching and, like, taking her.
I think there might be an outside force who might have been
watching. I like that.
Because right now she's only a baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She can't really think for herself or do things for herself.
I kind of thought it was just something Cora did as she was leaving to... get her, but I like your version better because that makes it more exciting.
That might get into predictions territory.
Yeah, that makes it way better. Mm-hmm. Way more cool.
So, let's talk about Zelina's plan. We learn in tonight's episode, although we kind of already knew, she wants to change the past. And she has, to do so, she needed a heart, courage, and a brain, which she got from our favorite characters in Storybrooke. And she also needs the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So to enact this plan, she needs all of those things. She gets the heart, which we'll talk about later. She essentially just has Rumple steal it from Robin Hood, who is protecting it.
How did they discover where the heart was being hidden?
I don't know.
No.
They never really... I think it was just...
logic?
Maybe it was Rumple's way, because he's very magical, so who knows what powers he really does have. Maybe he could sense where the heart was at.
Okay, so why was... I feel like they should have just had Robin Hood hide it somewhere and not be around to protect it. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it was a stupid plan on Robin Hood's part.
Yeah, I feel like they should have done something similar to what Rumple did when they were in Neverland with his shadow. How he just said, you know, with the shadow, take the dagger and hide it somewhere where even I don't know where it is. I feel like Regina needed to do something along those lines to really protect her heart. I just feel like it was too easy for Selena to get the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or was it somehow she knew when... So in the beginning of the episode, Selena came over to Regina's house and gave her some green apples because green is better. And when they were bickering, maybe somehow she knew. I don't know.
That was telling. Mm-hmm. I loved the green apples, though, because we know Regina from the first season, she was red apples. And then Zelina's complete opposite. She's green.
Well, not complete opposite.
Well, not complete. But just to show the difference between them, mm-hmm. even though they are witches and... very strong.
Yeah. I just love the way that worked out. Like, you know, from season one, it's like, oh, all these red apples. And then you bring Selena and she's all this green smoke. It's like, oh, green apples. How great is that, guys? It works out.
Yeah. And I loved how they trained the audience to, at first, we believe that red is bad, but now green is bad. Yeah.
Green is worse.
Green is worse.
Although I do like me some green apples. Granny Smith. Hey. Granny.
Shout out to Granny.
Rumple steals Regina's heart from Robin Hood, and this is after he threatens Roland, baby Roland.
Aw, poor Roland.
I was scared when that arrow kept going. I thought they were gonna kill the baby.
You're not gonna kill a kid at once.
I mean, they could have cut to commercial or something, and stranger things have happened on once.
True. Yeah.
But it did scare me. I let out a scream a little bit because I thought it was actually happening.
Poor Roland.
Yeah. Regina gets there just after, and Roland doesn't even seem fazed by almost being killed. He's already with the merry men and is, like, playing games. Yeah.
I thought Regina's reaction was actually pretty good, considering, like, her heart was just stolen. Now it's in the hands of Rumpel and Zelina, and then she's like, so long as no one's hurt. She said how much
she's changed.
Yes.
But the bigger question was, she said, you know, he left with my heart and I'm not dead. So this means there's something even worse than death coming for all of us.
Dun, dun, dun.
You won't even exist anymore.
Pretty much.
Nope. No, that's exactly what's going to happen. So Zelina's plan seems like it is on track. She is very close to getting the baby. She already has everything else. She later sits with Rumpel at the table, and they have some food and other stuff. And then she tells Rumpel this whole plan about how she can reunite him with his long-lost son. But it is because she's going to turn back time, which is the hardest magic to do. It's actually impossible, but she has figured a way out.
But I guess it is possible.
It is possible.
Because of all the spells that Belle has looked up, that these are the ingredients that you need. So someone has obviously tried it before and maybe probably have succeeded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one would know.
No one would know.
No one would know.
No one would know.
But there are multiple spells.
Wonder if it's happened before. I still say that there's an alternate universe somewhere.
Are we talking about on the show right now?
On the show.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about it in real life. And I was like, Kathy, that's a little off topic.
No.
But on the show. Yeah, I would love to see the alternate
universe
on the show.
Yeah.
But it has happened before.
Yeah, it could have happened before.
There are multiple spells out there.
Mm-hmm.
No one would know.
No one would know. So, Rumpel and Zelina, after this little talk, start to get a little hot and heavy, and we realize that it is because Rumpel's just being smart and trying to get the dagger from Zelina. She catches him right as he's about to grab it from her thigh, and
But my question for this, because I was very confused. So Zelina's doing all this stuff to go back in time and get what she thinks that she deserves and the life that she wants. But is she also in love with Rumpel?
There's something weird there. I think that she wants him because she could never have him, because he chose someone else.
But that was to train, not to date and marry.
She has some daddy issues.
Yeah. That's I was going to say she has things for authority and father figures that might help with her infatuation.
Her adoptive dad also kind of looked a little bit like Rumpel.
That's very true. So
it's a father complex.
So Zelina's plan is that she wants to go back way back in time and kill Snow's mother, Princess Ava, before all this happened and changed the past.
I would like to know how she found out about the past with Ava.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, clearly she never got to talk to Cora about it. And one of the
things Rumpel, probably. I would assume when she made her way to the Enchanted Forest.
He told her.
Yeah, either that or through the powers of Oz when she kind of took over that
could be true too. Yeah.
Maybe if we'll see another episode with the flashback of Ava, we'll get those answers.
I would love to see more of Ava, like what she did all those years,
how she became
between
a good person. Yeah,
between Rumpel saying no, I'm not going to use you, and her showing up today.
Maybe.
I mean,
Cora and Ava has had what seems they have a lot of history together. So just these interactions, we're led to believe that there are more interactions that we just haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll answer things for us.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Storybrooke now and our favorite Storybrookers.
Yay.
Regina starts off by tearing through Gold Shop to try to figure out what the heck Zelina is up to. She enlists Belle to help figure out everything. Belle is very reluctant because, you know, Regina having locked her in a tower and then in an insane asylum for 28 years.
I mean, she's going to have some hard feelings for
there
her.
There is that. But at the same time, it's like, hey, Belle, everyone else in the city right now is on Team Regina trying to save the whole town.
Obviously,
so you couldn't
she's
just
changed.
Yeah, obviously mm-hmm. she's changed. I know you're holding a grudge, but you could have brought that up like last month or something.
Water under the troll bridge.
Yeah. It's like everyone in the town has an issue with Regina. She's done mm-hmm. something. It's like, raise your hand if you've been personally affected by Regina. It's like
Regina George.
Regina George, yes. It's like everyone's hands would shoot up. So you're not special, Belle. Like,
I love it.
Just drop it already is what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
But that's
and,
just me.
I mean, Regina did plead her case. She's like, well, Belle, if you don't help me, then you'll probably never see your true love again. So it's in your best interest to figure out what's going on right now with Zelina. Then Regina ends up finding the two-sided candle. And it doesn't work anymore. It's just a relic. But this is something that Regina can use to channel Cora through. It's not about her death. It's about her life, is what Regina says.
I thought this was an interesting use of a candle. Because we've seen the candle do a lot of different things now. But, like, all the different meanings that this candle... There's several candles now in this mm-hmm. show. But the enchanted candle has more than one purpose.
Yeah. So was this not the same candle that Snow had to use on...
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. It is. So why is it that Snow used it on Ava, on her mother, and then she used it on... Right?
No, she didn't end up using it on her mother.
Okay. That's why.
She was going to.
Yeah, she was going to because Cora gave it to mm-hmm, her to mm-hmm. use.
Okay.
Oh, huh. Got it. I was thinking. Okay, there it is. Because Cora wanted Ava dead.
Mm-hmm.
Got her.
That's right.
So, it's a very weird, twisted story.
Yeah, this is where the episode got really
dark,
scary, and dark for me.
They had a séance at Regina's house for the ghost of Cora. Emma, Hook, Charming Snow White, and Regina are all there.
The Fab Five.
Fab Five, yeah.
A big happy family.
Yeah, the Fab Five of
just
Storybrooke.
Doing a séance.
Where is Henry?
Yeah,
with
Granny.
Hook.
No, Hook's there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So
he there.
Must be with Granny and her crossbow today.
Okay. So. The Fab Five are all at Regina's place to do a little seance, and they summon Cora with poison tea, and she's like, don't drink that tea, it'll kill you.
I prefer Earl Grey.
Yeah, poison tea and the murder weapon, and to talk to a dead person, apparently people don't do it that often because you need the murder weapon and the murderer in the same place.
Mm.
So, just so happens that Snow White killed Cora.
And like how
they
have she had to be labeled murderer.
Murderer.
I mean, it's true, but it's still Snow White and murderer don't seem to fit in the same sentence together.
Unless it's Snow White is not a murderer.
Yes, unless there's some extra words.
But
in
if
there.
You think about it, like Disney, the Disney franchise, they use murderer a lot. The term murderer. I mean, think of Lion King. Murderer.
Yeah.
Over and over again, so maybe it is fitting for this show.
Yeah.
She did kill her.
She did kill her. So, they do this seance, the ceiling opens up, and there's this blue black hole tornado thing that's going on the ceiling. Hook then bumps the table, and the portal closes, which wasn't really what happened. But Cora, they think, wants to keep her secrets hidden. Not so true. Regina and Snow, Regina and Snow end up hearing some squeaking in the room. But I didn't understand why the door magically disappeared.
Yeah,
too.
That was the part that scared the crap out of me.
And they didn't really answer that either.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it had to do with the Cora ghost that ended up coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they also didn't show us it reopening when everyone else
just came back.
Yeah, just came back. But it was creepy because I was thinking that it was something Zelina did.
Exactly. And to keep them all contained in the house.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, like if it's just Regina and Snow in there, like what's going to happen? If she's, is she going to go into labor? And
that's what confused me, because when we saw the door vanish with all of them, I'm like, maybe that's not Regina. Maybe that's Zelina trying to get Snow and her baby. Mm-hmm. Because earlier in the episode, she says the baby could come anytime. I'm like, this is the perfect opportunity to isolate Snow White and get her baby.
Yeah.
In a way.
So, Regina and Snow, they hear squeaking in the room upstairs. They go upstairs and they find the ghost of Cora Past spinning in the room. Ghost Cora won't answer any questions, but she tries to attack Snow. She then enters Snow's body, but we realize it's actually to communicate with her and share her story, her side of the story. Regina then gets Ghost Cora out of Snow's body and banishes the ghost. And Snow kind of retells all everything that she learned from Cora Ghost. The doctor then checks on Snow, says that the baby is fine because Snow has a tough placenta.
Yes.
That was awkward.
That's really awkward.
So weird.
You're just throwing placenta around like it's normal.
But I did like the ghost entering Snow and then that whole showdown, because it shows it's like their magical way of walking in someone else's shoes. And that moment really helped Snow understand Regina more and realize that their history are more intertwined and more complicated than it really is.
And I love that Cora picked Snow. I don't know if she had the choice between the two of them who to communicate this with, but by choosing Snow, it actually ends up bringing Regina and Snow closer together, because if Regina had seen everything, Snow might not have believed what Regina came back and said about her mom. Mm-hmm. And then that would have been a whole nother fight. So it's kind of Cora helping them
Cora want to help them? Why did Cora want to help Snow?
I think,
or was
because
it that she cared about Regina, so
I
she wanted to help
I think it's Regina that she's trying to help and save, and she knows that.
But doesn't she still care about Zelina?
I don't know. I mean, she...
She should.
That's the one she gave up.
Also, if you think about it, it was Cora... It was Snow White who killed Cora, so maybe it was, like, Cora initially trying to go after Snow, but then, in turn, actually ended up helping her instead of killing her. It ended up in a more fortunate way.
That could be it, too.
Yeah.
Probably. Maybe.
This whole scene just reminded me of so many movies and
ghost.
Things. Of, yeah, Ghost, Ghost for one. I think there was one other movie where it was really bad, like, ABC Family movie about, like, a hockey player that dies and then it gets resurrected as an ice skater or something, but like it's the ghost. And it's, there are a lot of movies where ghosts inhabit someone else's body. Yeah.
I would think like Jack Frost.
Jack Frost.
Jack Frost.
Yeah.
Snowman.
That's another one. There are a lot. So I guess one of the last things to talk about is Emma and Hook at Granny's, and Emma is practicing her magic. She can now make a latte travel across the room.
Granny's to go.
Granny's to go.
And she can move things, like move Hook's hook.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad we're seeing her do more magic now. Mm-hmm. It's so exciting to see, because as soon as she did it, I was like, oh, yay, that was fun. I was just excited that she was showing off to Hook, who, you know, wasn't...
He's a little bit
And
bummed,
it shows that she's really comfortable with her magic and growing, and then now... Her being comfortable and knowing that her powers are increasing and stuff. So when we get to the finale, she's going to be like all confident. Oh, man, I can take Zelina by myself.
Yeah, she's all like, woo.
What?
Ah. Yeah. We'll definitely see some more Emma magic the rest of the season. But Hook, we have to talk about him. Last week, Zelina put this curse on him, on his lips.
Those precious lips of mine.
And
his. My God.
He is supposed to kiss Emma with them.
Not supposed to kiss Emma.
What? Well, I mean,
he can't
according
kiss
to
Emma.
Zelina's plan, yes. But if he doesn't, then everyone in Storybrooke will perish. But I think that everyone in Storybrooke will perish no matter what he does, according to Zelina's plan.
Yeah. I just want him to tell them what happened. I don't want him to have to keep
Can't he tell?
No, no, no. I think that's it, that he can't, Hook can't tell anyone, or Zelina will go after everyone Emma loves.
Or is it that he can't tell because his lips are magically cursed?
I don't know what's preventing him from telling. Because I thought about that. I was like, I think Zelina wanted to, she would also be like, erase his memory of it. You know, tell him. She could just do a curse where she's like, go kiss Emma, and then erase his memories, and then he goes and does it, and she gets what she wants. But she's actually letting him decide the fate of where to go with it.
Yeah.
And I just want him to, I don't know, I just want the burden off of, I just want him to tell someone. It's like, oh, well, because he even started, well, he didn't start to tonight, but Emma was like, what's wrong with you? And he said, well, it's a long story, like too much to get into right now. So that makes me believe that he can get into it. He just doesn't want to right now.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he can, because if he does tell someone, Zelina will go after Emma's family.
I think he can, but he's conflicted and he's trying to figure out how to solve this on his own because he's a boy.
Also might be Zelina's way of just mentally torturing him as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that probably is her sick game that she's playing.
Very true. Because, I mean, it just, I don't know. I feel like he could say something because I don't think she's preventing him. But even if he says something, she goes after his family. Either way, her family's already under attack because she's going after their baby, mm-hmm. Snow and Charming's baby. So that's her sibling. So her family's already under attack. So I don't feel like he needs to make an announcement to the whole street. But if he tells, like, Emma, like, hey, you know, actually, she wants me to suck away your powers through my powerful lips here. I mean,
Tiana kind of wants to see that.
I mean, honestly. I want to see them kiss so bad, but I don't.
But because you can't. You can't have that.
She'll lose her powers. So, thank you, writers, not giving me my Hooker love right now.
We got a lot of Hooker love last episode, though.
So, I think that's all for this episode, unless we want to talk about Regina and Robin Hood kissing again.
That was sweet. At least someone got to kiss tonight.
That was great.
Like, why get end it, girl. It like that? I want to see more.
I know.
Maybe she'll wake up pregnant from kissing.
Oh.
That's how it works?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, but I love.
I thought a pelican then brings you the baby.
Yeah, the pelican brings you the baby.
You know, we did talk a little bit about it, but the whole conversation with Snow White and Regina, just that understanding of each other. And there was, I believe, a line when Snow White said, when we get your heart back, it's going to be stronger than ever.
Mm-hmm.
So Regina, what's going to happen to Regina's heart? Is she going to be a better person? It's not going to be so dark.
Yeah, because, we see this whole season. Heart.
Yeah, we see this whole season that she's working really hard becoming a better person, even last season. So hopefully it'll be better when she gets it actually returned to her.
Okay, so Belle said something about a resilient heart was what was key. What if Regina has, like, a complete 180 flip and, like, turns her heart back into, mush. You know, like, mush? And then the heart wouldn't be good anymore, right? Because it wouldn't be so resilient.
I mean, if you have a tough placenta, you can also have a tough heart or a weak heart.
Exactly. So maybe that could help them.
Didn't Regina also say something that she casted a spell on her heart so things couldn't happen to it?
Yeah, she said something about
it
she
could
prevent
it from people messing with
from her being able to talk into the heart and control what she was going to do. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Regina did think, obviously, about her heart, but now that it's in someone else's hands, there are other magic that could probably undo those spells.
Zelina's a pretty smart lady.
That's Zelina. Yeah.
She can figure it out. So, before we get into predictions, Tiana, you have any news and gossip for the week?
That I do.
Well, why don't you share?
Phil, do we have that picture?
Well, while he queues it up.
As we all know, Jennifer Goodwin and Josh Dallas got married last Saturday, April 12th. Mm-hmm. This is the design. Her dress was designed by her good friend Monique Lullier. Yeah, that's the way to say it. I always say her name wrong. And she
looks like a princess dress.
It looks like a princess, and it even gives room for the baby bump. It's so pretty. And Monique is quoted saying, "Jenny and I have been good friends for years. When I heard she was engaged, I was over the moon happy for her and Josh. We had the best time at our fittings." So that is a little preview. We haven't seen any pictures from the ceremony. It was very small and intimate.
It was a private.
Yeah, very private and intimate, so... No official pics, but at least we know what the dress looked like on paper.
Was it at Disney? I feel like they would get married at Disney.
They got married on It's a Small World.
I feel like they would get married in the Cinderella castle. Yeah. Like, that would be them.
Yeah, but it was probably not, because it was very small and intimate, and no one knew about it until they knew.
Until after it happened.
Yeah, until after it happened. And then people in Anaheim, California were treated this weekend to WonderCon, and the showrunners and producers and writers for Once Upon a Time were there. They did a panel, and so we have some good quotes about what we can expect for the rest of the season. We know that next week is Edward Kitsis' favorite episode for Snow and Charming. We will find out all about the baby next week.
Whether it's a boy or a girl, or they're going to name it Ava or Leopold or none of the above.
Yes, all of that. We also will find out next week who cast the curse that that erased their memories. Nice. So that's exciting. We will know that. Wow. Adam Horowitz talked about Henry's memories, and he said that Henry's memories issues will be decided one way or another by the end of this season. So does that mean Henry's going to get his memories back? Is he not going to have them back? What's going to happen? And then last, I thought this was an interesting tidbit because I hadn't thought about this. They talked about Bay's or Neil's death. They said that Neil's sacrifice was very meaningful in the fact that it made Neil a hero and ended the family's history of cowardice.
Oh.
And I was like, I never thought about how, you know, selfless of an act that was, and you know how his family history is to all run away and be cowards. And
can we talk history about for a second when Zelina said that she could reunite Rumpel with his long lost son tonight? I got so excited thinking that Neil would come back.
Cute of you. Kathy's giving me the evil eye right now because I knew that it wasn't going to happen. I just knew that Rumpel wasn't going to give up everything that they were working for to let Zelina win.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a good thought. I would like to see him back, too.
It was nice.
There's always flashbacks.
It's also, maybe it's still just too sensitive because it's still too soon to really bring up Neil and how he went. And
Too soon, Tiana. Too soon.
Zelina did it, not me.
You're just rubbing it in, though.
Sorry.
No better than Zelina.
And that is it for your news and gossip for the week for Once Upon a Time.
Moving on to our predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So I want to know, what do you predict the baby's name will be? I'm kidding.
Neither obviously. Leopold nor Eva.
Hopefully not those names, because that's going to get confusing.
Yeah. Actually, if it's a girl, though, I think Snow might name the baby Cora.
Aww.
Like,
I feel like it'll have some significance, and it'll be, like, a name that, has a second meaning, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, all the characters' names.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But I do have a prediction for, because we know Selena's after the baby, and that the baby is what's different than all the other times, blah, blah, blah. The baby is the portal. To get them back to the past.
How?
I don't know, but maybe the baby is somehow a portal. Because the way that that wasn't the first curse that happened that way. But anyways, I think that the baby can be a portal, and maybe it's something to do with Aurora's baby and Snow's baby coming at, like, the same time. It's like, with new life, we can go back in time or something weird like that.
We saw in the previews for next week that we do see some Aurora in them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Zelina had Aurora and Prince Philip keep a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I think I threw out all my predictions in tonight's show. But I think Henry will definitely get his memories back soon, if not later. Hopefully, because we see in the preview, something's going to go down with Henry. They're using him as whatever, collateral, whatever. But I think maybe if he gets his memories back, that'll help whatever's happening in next week's episode, because things are about to go down. But the thing is, just like, Henry without his memories really has no purpose in Once anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to give his memories back to give meaning to his character. Then why is he still there?
I completely agree, because Henry has been so boring for the past half of the season.
Pretty much non-existent.
Yeah, it's like we went from him being in Neverland where, you know, everyone's trying to see him. They're just
shuffling him to person to person to babysit.
They're trying to get his voice to change before.
Yeah, they're just trying to give him a break. The
storyline, yeah.
But he definitely has to get his memories back.
Yeah, I agree with Marissa. I think Henry without memories doesn't really serve a purpose in Storybrooke anymore, story-wise, or for the audience to really engage with him, because Henry is such an important role in this. He is the reason all of this is coming together. So without Henry as the voice of reason for everyone, what else is he? Because he's just in the dark.
Exactly. Yeah. And what happened to the book? Do we know where the book went?
We don't know where the book went.
If we got the book, maybe that'll help jog Henry's memory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Could work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I guess we will wait and see. I'm personally very excited for next week to find out more about the baby.
Yay, babies!
Until next week, please, please, please keep the conversation going on our YouTube. We love hearing all of your comments every single week. If you watch us on YouTube, then also please take 2 seconds, go over to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast there. You can also find AfterBuzz TV's other after shows. We do about 60 shows a week. All of them are awesome. Rate and comment and 5 stars if you like us, and 5 stars if you don't. And then also keep the conversation going on Twitter. Where can they find you guys?
You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at TheTiannaHobson.
And you can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at SerafiniTV.
You can follow me on Twitter at Catherine Kelly. You can follow all of us here on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV. So until next week, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you then.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.